Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
It all comes back to building self-trust and becoming an expert of your body and knowing what works for you. And that comes with learning and understanding and getting that information from a place of empowerment to help you say, okay, this is not about the weight. This is really about nourishing myself and my child and feeling my best. And usually when you're feeling your best, you're probably eating in a way that best serves you because your body wants to feel good and be taken care of. And it's going to tell you very clearly when you are. And so just pair that with your intuition. Take those recommendations, the nutritional recommendations. They definitely help. And remember that your body is a partner in that journey.
Giving birth is one of the most significant events of your life. Sadly, the joy that you should feel can often be replaced with anxiety and helplessness instead. As a labor and delivery nurse, I'm revealing insider information to educate you, reassure you, and decrease your fear. In this podcast, you'll hear empowering birth stories and experts weigh in on a range of topics. Being Jewish also has me exploring Judaism's influence on the reproductive experience. However, I speak to anyone wishing to navigate their journey with more joy and confidence. I'm your host, Chani Fingerer, and you're listening to the Happy Birthway Podcast. Welcome to this delayed episode 35 of the Happy Birthway Podcast. With the launch of Yoledit Community, it's just been quite busy, and I'm sorry that I missed last week. I'm happy to be here this week to offer you this amazing episode, which is part 3 of the Health at Every Size series. So this week, I am having on Rachel Goodman, who is a registered dietitian nutritionist, and she is someone who had quite the tumultuous relationship with food herself. She was struggling with binge eating, and she turned around this challenge that she had in order to help other people who are struggling with unhealthy relationships with foods of any sort and to teach them all about intuitive eating. So in the last two episodes, we talked about how people of every size can attain health. And we also talked about how diets are harmful. And that may have left some of you thinking, so if diets are harmful, then how do I be healthy nutritionally? And so this episode, I bring you Rachel Goodman, who's going to give you practical steps and information on how you can do that, and namely how you can do that during pregnancy, because during pregnancy, you're going to be receiving a lot of nutritional advice. There are new nutritional considerations. You may have a condition that may require extra nutritional attention, and sometimes that can mess with your brain, especially if you are someone who has dieted in the past or currently. And Rachel really does an incredible job synthesizing traditional prenatal nutritional advice with the intuitive eating model. So I can't wait for you to hear this amazing, incredible interview. Before we start the interview, I just wanted to give you an update on Yoledit Community. We are now 70 members strong, and we had our first Q&A session / meet and greet last week. It was absolutely incredible. It went way over time, almost 2 hours. About 20 of you joined. It was just so lovely to have the experience of getting to know some of the members on a more intimate level. There were quite a few first-time moms, and some of them were due all around the same time, just about now. So it was great that they were able to connect. And then we had a few repeat moms, one or two of them who I can think of who had some birth trauma, and we discussed the pitfalls of their experiences and what not just they but everyone can do in order to make it a more enjoyable experience the next time. We also had some birth professionals, and they were able to provide a lot of great insight. They were also able to speak practical information regarding the locations that they work at and how to navigate certain hospital systems, etc. So if you are a Yoledic community member, then you would have received a link to the recorded session that you will have for 7 days. And I cannot wait until our next session, which will be next week. Now, if you're kind of regretting that you didn't take advantage of the 90-day free trial I was offering until January 31st, you can still take advantage of a 30-day free trial that I'm currently offering on my website, yoledicacademy.com. So go ahead, check it out. On the top right corner, you will see a link for Yoledic community. And you don't have much to lose, so check it out. Join in on the next Q&A session, and I really cannot wait to meet some more of you. Of course, I cannot end an introduction without asking you please to rate and review the podcast, to subscribe to the podcast, and also please share the podcast. I haven't asked for you to do that for a while, but please just tell one person who you think might love hearing what we have to say here. And who knows, you may change their life. You never know. Maybe they'll hear something here that will just be life-altering for the rest of their lives. And I also wanted to open up the floor to all of you listeners to email me, please, Chani@YoledicAcademy.com, that's Chani@YoledicAcademy.com, to please submit any requests for topics that you want to hear about. And either I will try to get an expert on that topic, or if I feel like I can speak on that topic from my own knowledge and experience, then I will be so happy to. But I want to know what you want to hear. So please email me and let me know. And I hope that I can continue to offer you great, valuable content. So without further ado, enjoy the interview. I am so excited to introduce to you Rachel Goodman. She is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, entrepreneur, public speaker, and mom of three who understands the challenges of juggling life, work, and taking care of yourself. She is passionate about helping women stop being at war with food and their bodies and helping them cultivate a healthy relationship with food, as well as fostering a positive body image through the lens of self-care and compassion so they can show up fully for their life and live at their highest potential. Rachel helps women rid themselves of food rules, guilt, and binge eating, and heal their relationship with food through coaching, public speaking, her online courses, and Instagram platform, where you can follow her at dietitian.rachelgoodman. She is also the host of the More Than What You Eat podcast, available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you struggle with binge eating or food chaos, you can download her free guide, 3 Steps to Stop Feeling Out of Control with Food, here. And I'm going to put that link in the episode show notes, just because it's, you know, it's got a lot of letters, words, and numbers, and I think it'll be easier for people to access it straight through the show notes. And Rachel, I found you through Instagram. You have an enormous following, testimony to the amazing work that you do. And I am very much in alignment with the school of thought of health at every size, intuitive eating, and breaking the patterns of so much disordered eating that unfortunately many nutritionists are still perpetuating. So thank you for being out there and for starting to change the landscape around nutrition. So with that said, we are going to specifically address problems that come up during the perinatal stage, during pregnancy, and during the postpartum period. So with that, I give the floor to you.
Hi, thank you so much. That was such a sweet welcome. I appreciate that. And I'm excited to be here and talk about this time in your life, which is so unnecessarily, I often find it's so unnecessarily stressed about like what you're eating, how you're eating. And then also like a lot of disordered eating comes up with pregnancy in like how you eat. And it just can feel like very chaotic, especially if you're also dealing with a lot of things going on in your body, like hormonally. And that could like make you not feel yourself. And so it could just feel so like you really don't need another thing on your plate, no pun intended, with like, you know, stressing out about nutrition. It's not like it shouldn't be such rocket science, or you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited to deep dive and really like simplify and calm some moms who are pregnant or like postpartum in this area.
That's awesome. Yes. And I also want to add, besides for the emphasis on, you know, all of the stuff that you said, unfortunately, I think doctors and the medical community very highly emphasize the weight issue as well. And I think they go way overboard and give it way too much weight. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
They emphasize it way more than it really needs to be, even just through the medical research that we have. And yes, for myself, just from personal experience, I had never struggled with an unhealthy relationship with food or with body image before I got pregnant for the first time. And then that really sent me down that spiral of the yo-yo dieting, the getting back into my body after pregnancy. I'm someone who, no matter, you know, genetically, I was made to gain a lot of weight during pregnancy. Even the one child that I had that I was like crazy watching what I ate and exercising like crazy, I gained, that's the only child that I gained, you know, within the average amount. And I had to go crazy with that. So I totally also get that point of like, you know, that little narrow recommended amount of weight to gain is just way too broad.
Which has changed, by the way, like that. I don't know if it's like people are still stuck in the old recommendation, but that actually, that range has gotten wider.
That's really nice and hopeful to know. So like, what can you tell us about all of these topics you brought up in terms of just nutrition in general and the hormones that fluctuate and that may change appetites and how you're feeling?
So do you want to talk first about like the emphasis on weight and the stresses of that, or because you mentioned that first, or getting straight into like the stresses of nutrition and that aspect of things?
I think the nutrition piece, just because I actually recently did an interview with Rachel Tuckman, and we address more like the body image changes and the weight, you know, mental wise, you know. So I think the nutrition piece, well, that's really your expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing about nutrition during pregnancy is that, yes, it changes from your baseline before pregnancy, but it doesn't like change drastically. And what you really want to focus on is variety of foods, because you do have an increased needs of micronutrients and macronutrients. So micronutrients is you're developing like a human being, and you're going to need a lot of like, you know, nutrients to the micronutrients, the vitamins and the minerals, especially honing in on folate, iron, calcium. Those like three are like really big ones. But overall, now the thing is, it's so easy to say like, okay, well then what should I eat and how much should I eat of it and how much micrograms should I have and how many grams? And we get so caught up in that it starts to stress you out, when really, if you're eating a variety of foods, like if you're having some nut butter and nuts and whole grains and leafy greens and vegetables and fruit and chicken and really just from all food groups, you're going to get the nutrients you need. And with the first trimester, you really up in your needs of like micronutrients, but in terms of macronutrients, which is like the carbs, fat, and protein, you don't really have increased needs. You could just eat like as you usually do.
And I just want to also say that sometimes eating habits, especially in the first trimester, change because you're a lot of times not feeling well with nausea. And like I eat chicken okay when I'm not pregnant, but during pregnancy, I couldn't tolerate it. So there's like
a big one for people. Yeah.
So I think people like might feel guilty that they're eating many more carbs, or there's also that challenge of finding other sources of protein, for example.
Right. So the thing with that, this is kind of the next thing that I want to get to. So there's like the recommendations, the nice guidelines. You do have an increase specifically in macronutrients. You do have an increase in protein because, again, you're developing a human body with like bones and muscle, and that, like, that requires a lot of protein. So you do have a bump in the protein that you need. And so ideally, you know, you'd have all these recommendations to follow, and like you'd increase your protein, and you'd have more like fruit and vegetable and like whole grains. brains and like, you know, all these things that sound so nice. Except that, especially in the first trimester, so many women experience nausea or like mood swings, just like not feeling themselves. And then they're, like you said, carbs can help like with the nausea. So they're like having crackers, or they're having Pringles, or they're having like just a lot of carb heavy stuff. And then they start to freak out and worry like, oh, what's gonna happen with my baby? You know, so first of all, one, you're already like feeling miserable. If that's, you know, not everyone feels miserable, but most don't feel that great in the first trimester. And so you really don't need another dose of like bashing yourself. Like, just be kind to yourself. You're going to figure it out. Breathe. Know that definitely if you're not eating a variety of foods and it's hard for you to do that, then take like definitely prenatal is important. And the prenatal, making sure it's like a good one and checking either with a doctor or dietitian, that's going to meet the micronutrient needs. Because remember, it's micronutrients. It's not like this like crazy amount. And the prenatal is kind of going to be like your backup guide. And also remembering that worst case scenario as well, the body's prioritizing the fetus now. So while this is not ideal, you're like, your child is likely like safe, unless you're really like not eating and you have like, you know, what's that term again?
Hyperemesis gravidarium, or otherwise known as HG.
Yes, exactly. So that's already like really concerning, right? But like if you're eating and it's just like not variety, then your body prioritizes the baby, which means that it's going to take from your system and give that to the baby. So that just might mean if you're not eating enough calcium, you're going to take the hit, not your baby. Like the body's going to prioritize taking calcium from your system and giving it to your baby. So obviously that's not ideal. We want to definitely prioritize your health. But if you're concerned about your baby, like your body's prioritizing what's good for the baby, as long as like you are eating enough and taking that prenatal vitamin. And then people talk a lot about like folic acid, which is important for like the development of like the spinal cord and the brain. Really, that's really essential in the first 28 days. So that's something that you want to be focused on before you even get pregnant. So a lot of people are like, oh, when I'm pregnant, okay. But no, like if you're already thinking you want to get pregnant, start being mindful of that. And you also have so many food sources. So, you know, leafy greens, nuts, but right now, like, what happened was women were having more like spina bifida and like those neural tube issues. And, the government has, if you notice on like bread, whole grains, cereals, they fortify those things. And that's why there's less of that, because if you're eating whole grains, and that's why eating a variety of foods is so important, even before you get pregnant, and having a healthy relationship with food is important before you get pregnant, because if your body is nutritionally sound and feeling good and getting variety before you're pregnant, you're already in an optimal place that even if you're not eating so well in that first trimester because of nausea, your body is in a healthy place to do its best to give, you know, to your growing child.
Yeah. And back to the folate/folic acid discussion, I want to emphasize what you said. The neural tube develops in the first 28 days or so. And often people don't know the first few weeks that they're pregnant. And so you shouldn't start taking the folic acid after you're pregnant, really. And again, if somebody found out that they're pregnant without taking it, don't freak out. Like Rachel said, many foods are fortified with folic acid as it is. But for those of you who are in the stage where you might get pregnant, then please, please take the folic acid supplement before you know, find out that you're pregnant when you're trying.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's kind of like the first trimester, and really in any trimester, there's like all these like recommendations, and they're great. And if you can follow them and really be able to, you know, incorporate it, that's fantastic. But if you just physically are throwing up, feeling nauseous, cannot stomach chicken, then, you know, it's really saying, okay, what can I do with this? What do I actually need? What can I control? And doing your best while knowing that for most women, they're, you know, most women experience nausea, and many, many women still birth healthy children with that. And so, yes, there's aiming for the ideal, but knowing that doing your best is good enough as well, especially if you're taking that prenatal vitamin, you're getting the micronutrients, and really just eating, aiming to eat enough. So in the first trimester, again, your energy needs have not really like increased. You could basically eat the same amount that you were eating before. Sometimes women will eat more because, again, they'll eat a lot of carbs for the nausea. And so, you know, if that's what you need to like not be nauseous and function, then that's what you need. But I do find, and this is kind of where we want to talk a little bit about this ordered eating, is that a lot of women, when they get pregnant, it's suddenly like, oh, well, I'm pregnant, so I can like eat whatever I want. And like, I'm eating for two. And that really often comes from, you're like raising your hand. That though often comes from, you know, if you started off with not the greatest relationship with food, and now it's like society does kind of give that temporary permission for pregnant women to be like, oh yeah, you're pregnant, like it's fine, you could have a stomach, you could gain weight, like you get a pass from society kind of thing. And you're probably giving yourself a pass too, especially if you've had a really unhealthy relationship with food before and you've been keeping yourself in check, and now it's like, oh well, now I'm pregnant and I have this free pass. And then you start to feel chaotic, you start to overeat, and you're not really feeling good, but you're like, this is my opportunity. And then women end up feeling like not good. And when it comes to weight gain, we shouldn't focus on like weight gain, but sometimes we have, that's why behaviors are more important than weight gain, because there's genetics that impact weight and weight gain during pregnancy. You know, some people retain a lot of fluids, you know, but if someone is putting on an excessive amount of weight because of their behaviors, then we shouldn't hype up on like the weight. Like if they're going to the doctor's office and they're just saying, oh, your weight, you're not helping them. You're just making them feel worse. And you're not getting to the core issue, which is like, maybe this person is overeating constantly or binge eating, and there's a reason for that, especially if they have a disordered relationship with food. And now they're like in this mindset of, I could eat for two, even though that's not true. Like in the first trimester, you really could just be eating as usual, just with an emphasis more on like variety and protein, which again, if you can't do, then have that prenatal and do your best. So that's something to pay attention to. Especially in like the first trimester.
That's very interesting, because I think this is where the purge binge pattern comes in, specifically in pregnancy. I mean, people with disordered eating, a lot of times the diets that they deprive themselves, and then suddenly they go overboard to that binging place. So I can see where that can manifest itself here in pregnancy.
Yeah. And that's why when people say like, what can I eat intuitively when I'm pregnant? Of course. It's funny because I have a full podcast episode on my podcast on like eating intuitively while pregnant, which I'll give you the link if you want to link it in the notes for anyone who wants to like deep dive a little more. It could look different during pregnancy, because your hunger fullness cues might be a little wonky because of the hormones, because of the nausea, because of like mood swings. There's so many factors that can play into it. But for the most part, I mean, no matter how you're feeling, binge eating is never going to feel good. And if you're like out of control with food because you're giving yourself this pass to eat, take a pause, breathe, and say, okay, like this is not about the pregnancy. The pregnancy is bringing awareness to a bigger issue that I have with food. Let me just take a moment to think, hey, what was my relationship before I got pregnant? What do I think my relationship is going to be after, like once I have this baby? And it's not like, you don't have to wait till you're having the baby to like heal your relationship with food and kind of say like, oh, I can't deal with it. Like you can really start building those skills and healing during pregnancy. It starts with being aware of, hey, is this really, I'm like overeating because like maybe I'm nauseous and I need like carbs to stomach myself, you know, help. Or am I just kind of like eating all these foods mindlessly because now I feel I have this free pass to eat? Like, well, then what makes you feel like you can't eat it when you're not pregnant? That's a signal. That's a warning sign. That's like a red flag to think about. Like if I'm eating chocolate when I'm pregnant and I'm thinking I have to eat as much chocolate and take advantage right now, well, like who says you can't have chocolate when you're not pregnant? And like, that's what leads to chaos with food and unhealthy relationship with food. And I do find a lot of women, you know, they'll gain weight during pregnancy, but they might really gain a significant amount of weight as a result of disordered eating. And it's the disordered, and then they feel so like upset about the weight gain after and like regretting what they ate. And it's not the weight we want to focus on. It's like the disordered eating that we want to address. And you could address it at any time during pregnancy that you start to notice this and really start to get in tune with your body, which the second trimester is kind of like a good segue to the second trimester. The second trimester is when your cues start to feel a little bit more regulated and like back to normal, because the nausea is like going away, you're picking up energy, and your baby's not like that big to be pressing on your stomach. So like your cues in the second trimester are probably like similar to what they were before, unless you're someone who is a chronic yo-yo dieter and you're not in tune with your hunger fullness signals at all, which in that case, I would say like probably working with a professional and helping you figure that out, especially during pregnancy. But yeah, the second trimester, you know, like they call it the golden trimester, you're finally feeling good, you have more energy. So calories are a measure of energy, and food is more than just energy. It's pleasure, it's joy, and all that. But the context of this conversation, food does give you energy. And so how that calorie meter works in your body, or energy meter works in your body, so you don't have to really count calories, is that when you're hungry, that means your blood sugar is low. There's a reason you're feeling hunger. It's because you're low on energy. Your body's really smart. It's like designed to survive. And so low blood sugar, which is like your body's main way to get energy, which converts it to energy, is a signal to your body like, hey, we're low on energy. Just like in a car, you get a ding when the gas meter is low. It's the same thing, obviously in a much more complex, sophisticated way in your body than it is a car. But you start to get your brain gets a signal like, oh, the circulating blood has low energy in it, the blood sugar is low, we need to get her to eat more energy so we can actually live. And so you'll start to get different hunger signals, whether it's low energy, whether it's a grumbling stomach, you'll get moody, you'll start to think about food. There's different ways to feel hunger. It's not just in your stomach, especially for someone who has been disconnected from their body and has an unhealthy, disordered relationship with food. They might not feel their growling stomach immediately if they've been so disconnected. So recognizing there's more than one way to feel hunger, especially if like you start to eat the food and it tastes really good, that heightened, like, you know, when you like, you are starving, so even bread tastes incredible. You're like, oh, this bread is heaven. And it's like just bread. Well, actually, that's not true. Sometimes bread is like really, really amazing. But anyway, food, there's like a heightened reward response to food and a heightened like pleasure when you're hungry as a way to motivate you to go eat. And so as you're eating and you increase in the energy, the circulating blood starts to increase in that blood sugar, your stomach starts to distend. And so it sends the signal to your brain like, oh, we have enough energy. And so with time, you'll notice you'll get signals that will, like if you're listening, will start to demotivate you from eating. Like the food might not be as tasty as in the beginning. Like your stomach will be distended. You'll just be at this place when you're listening, like, oh, I'm full, I'm good, I can stop now. And so you've gotten the energy that you needed. Just like in a car, when you're full, like the gas kind of stops and it's like, okay, you're done. And it's like clear, you're done. So when you have a healthy relationship with food and your body, you can clearly see those signals. And again, it's a little tricky with pregnancy, but for the most part, you know, especially after the nausea stage in second and third trimester, you can clearly identify that more. So you're able to stop, and your body basically is brilliantly telling you how much energy you need, especially if you're eating a variety of foods. You know, it might be different if like you're having like just processed foods all the time. But again, if you're eating intuitively processed foods, like you don't need me to tell you what processed foods are, how it's going to impact your body. Like you're physically just not going to feel good. It's not like we make it as if it's rocket science, but really your body's so smart. If you just listen to it, you're not going to feel good eating processed foods all day. And so when you're eating a variety of foods, variety of whole foods, and yes, some fun foods as well, for the most part, your body's able to identify when it's hungry, when it's full, and do the calculating of the calories for you. So really it's like, it's an unnecessary stress for you to be micromanaging that, especially when it's leading you away from what your body wants, especially if you're like using it to under eat, which you don't want to do during pregnancy and then end up being hungry. So that's kind of the bit on calorie counting. You really don't need to do that. And just like focus on, I want to feel good. My body's smart and it's not going to lead me astray when I'm in alignment with that. And if you're not in alignment, again, seeking help to heal your relationship with food, because it's probably a signal that that's what's going on. And you want to focus on that instead of weight, because focusing on the weight is not going to actually address the underlying history that's going on with your relationship with food, which is what you want to fix at its core, which may or may not impact your weight. But it's most definitely going to help you be at the healthiest weight for you.
I love it. And we touched on the nausea, but there are other conditions during pregnancy that may require you to tap in a little bit more in depth into nutrition, such as gestational diabetes, or, you know, people have like gastrointestinal issues like constipation or heartburn. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you can, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such an important one. I think a lot of women stress about getting gestational diabetes, even when they haven't gotten gestational diabetes. So the first thing is looking at family history, like cross the bridge when you get there. Like a lot of people will like, oh, if I get this and if I get that, especially if they're in a larger body, they're assuming they're going to get all these issues just because we've had that stigma. When in reality, like so much of it is more so family history than your weight. So if you have a family history of gestational diabetes, then by all means, kind of like educate yourself on that, learn more about that. If not, then kind of come back to like, okay, I'm going to eat to feel good. And if that's something, a bridge to cross, then I will, but most likely you won't. So now if you, let's say, have gestational diabetes, first of all, you still want to eat in alignment with your body in terms of hunger and fullness and feeling good. And that in and of itself is going to help your blood sugar regulation. Because if you go too long without eating, your blood sugar gets like really low. And right when you're super hungry, the hungrier you are, think about it this way, the hungrier you are, the lower your blood sugar. And with diabetes, you really want to have balanced blood sugar. So what happens is the hungrier you are, the lower your blood sugar is. And then also the hungrier you are, the more likely you are to then overeat as a defense mechanism from your body. Like, oh my God, we didn't eat for so long. Also, you're a lot more likely to eat refined foods because the body's like, we haven't eaten for so long. We need to get food energy into our system quick. And the more refined the food is, the faster it's going to get into your system. So the body is like wickedly smart. And so the more you go past hunger and get overly hungry, the more likely you are to overeat and also eat foods that are, you know, not going to make you feel the greatest. And then you're going to have a spike in your blood sugar. So first and foremost, when it comes to diabetes, either gestational or even not, hunger fullness is really going to help you have more like a wave. We want like a gentle wave of blood sugar, if you want to visualize it, versus like spikes up and down. And so baseline is making sure you're eating consistently, you're eating enough so that you don't get to a place where you're like overeating or binge eating, which is not good for your blood sugar. The next thing you want to focus on with gestational diabetes is not stressing out about, I have to cut out carbs now, I can't have carbs. And that's just going to make you obsessed about carbs. It's not good for your stress levels. And you also could enjoy carbs. It's understanding carbs. So the difference between dieting, and in the context that I'm saying it, is like really focusing on like weight, or dieting in the sense of like moralizing food, and intuitive eating, is that they both talk about nutrition. Intuitive eating cares about nutrition and cares about your health. The difference is that it's not moralized. It comes from an empowering place and a self-care place and understanding, versus dieting is like you're good versus you're bad, and it is very stressful.
It's like self-deprecation versus self-love and honoring yourself.
Yeah. And it's like, it's super stressful. It's not about your body at all. Well, it is about your body in terms of like your blood sugar, but it's not about listening to your body or, having that bridge between gentle nutrition and honoring your body. Because when you're eating intuitively, when it comes to health and nutrition, we have like external aspects of nutrition, like the recommended guidelines. And then we have our internal compass of what feels good to us. And we don't want to ignore either one. We kind of want to have them work in harmony. Where with dieting, it completely like disregards what your body feels or what you think and gives you this rigid plan, which can feel out of alignment and actually lead you to even to binge eating carbs or to feeling out of control with food and leading you to the opposite of what you want for your blood sugars. So when it comes to eating intuitively and gentle nutrition, first of all, it's start with understanding diabetes, blood sugar regulation, and how carbs impact that. How do carbs definitely do impact your blood sugar level? But it's also knowing that how you're eating it. You're not having like, you know, if you're binge eating on carbs, yeah, it's going to increase your blood sugar. Even if you're having something super, super sweet. But knowing that, hey, when I pair it with protein, it slows the absorption of the glucose and it's perfectly fine. So a lot of times it's learning how to eat the carbohydrates and being more aware of like, hey, what protein do I like or can tolerate right now in this pregnancy? To enjoy with this carb, and making choices that are coming from self-care and empowerment. And sometimes it's also, you know, depending on like where you're at in your journey. And I definitely recommend working with a dietitian on this, in seeing the blood sugar values, like starting to test the blood sugars. And instead of assuming it's like, oh my God, so horrible, like let's see the information black and white so we can learn. We can learn what needs to be improved. And again, the number, the blood sugar value is not a moral compass of you. Again, don't turn the numbers into the scale. The number is information and saying, okay, we're gonna first work on eating consistently. We're gonna then work on adding protein. And this is what I do with my clients. Like, first, let's stop the chaos. Let's get consistent before we even check blood sugars. Like, let's get you eating when you're hungry, stop like being able to stop when you're full, or for the most part, being intentional on adding protein, right? We're not yet focused on like, let's cut this out, let's cut that out. Because immediately if you're adding protein and you're adding vegetables by default, you're just going to have less space for the carb. But we're not going into it saying, let's cut out carbohydrates. It's like, no, let's add protein and let's add fat and let's add vegetables. And the ratio will by default shift and you'll still be able to enjoy all foods. And then at this place, we then start to check our blood sugars and see the facts. Like, is this really, like, you're so stressed about this food, maybe that food is not even spiking your blood sugar. Maybe it's something completely different that you did not assume. And once we see those blood sugars and those patterns, we can really hone in on, okay, these sugars at this time of day works, like, this is great. Be consistent with that. But how come like a client will come and say like, well, my evening sugars are like high, or like this sugar was high. And so rather than like freaking out, like, oh, so bad, I have to cut out carbs and like going extreme, we go and we deep dive and say, hey, it was high. What happened? What happened? If you overate and had like, you know, three slices of cake, how come? You know, were you eating emotionally? Were you depriving yourself for a while? Rather than giving these rules of like, okay, well then no cake for a week. You need to understand yourself in order to change behaviors. And so that applies to gestational diabetes as well. You absolutely can eat intuitively while also making respect, like respecting your body and honoring your body and saying like, hey, actually I've had some, you know, chocolate yesterday. My blood sugar was kind of high yesterday. I really want to honor what my body needs. And like, I know I can have chocolate again if I want to, but you know, it doesn't make sense for my body right now. And so I won't have chocolate today. You know, maybe I'll have it like another time with something else, and making that decision, not because you're restricting from a place of like, I have to restrict and chocolate is bad, but rather you really took time to think about it and say like, chocolate just doesn't make sense for me right now. And chocolate is not bad, but to honor my body, I'm going to say no to chocolate today, because I know that I could say yes to chocolate another time when it makes sense for me. Saying, I think a lot of times when people start their journey with intuitive eating, they think if they ever say no to food, then they're automatically back to dieting. That's not true. You're allowed to say no to food exactly as you are allowed to say yes to food, because it's not about you saying yes or no to food, it's why you're saying yes or no to food, and all of it coming back to self-care and honoring yourself. And that's why it's so important to cultivate that self-trust with yourself and that appreciation for yourself and for your body. So you're really fueled from a place of like, I am important and I'm going to care for myself. And maybe chocolate makes sense then or today, and then it's not going to make sense tomorrow because it does impact my blood sugar. Like, in what way can I enjoy it? Like, a lot of times it's learning how to enjoy chocolate. Like, rather than having chocolate on its own, say, hey, I know protein is going to slow the absorption of the sugar in this chocolate. Can I have it with some cashews? Well, I said cashews because I love cashews. If you like almonds, if you like something else, like some kind of protein in there, and like that will help kind of blunt the effect of the blood sugar. And then after that, you test your blood sugar 2 hours later. And you check and you assess like, hey, did the nuts work? Did it help? Or like, you know, maybe I should strategize for something different later. But it's really like being open to learning and empowering yourself with information instead of like using that to be self-defeating and stress yourself out.
I love that. And for myself, I do this all the time where I know I like sweet things, and finding those sweet things that I think will give me more nutrition, such as dates. I just discovered how much I love dates.
I love medjool dates, and like with peanut butter. So good. It's like coffee. Yum. Yeah.
So then I'll have a date or two, which are very sweet, and the glycemic index is lower. So it'll stretch out the way your blood sugar is processed over having some gummy bears. And I do it from a place of self-love, and because I enjoy it and I love it, and I don't feel that deprivation of having the gummy bears instead of the date. So I love how you said just finding those things that work for you and still fulfilling those desires that you have and those actual nutritional needs. And just quick side note, just for people to know, gestational diabetes is not just about the weight gain. I know a lot of doctors play the big baby card. And yes, people who have gestational diabetes do have a predisposition for having a bigger baby. But a lot of it, guys, is that your baby is producing more insulin as a result of you having more sugar in your body than is normal levels. And when your baby's born, they're still going to continue to produce extra insulin, even though their blood sugars will stabilize. And we don't want them to then have to go into such a state of blood sugars that are too low.
That drop rapidly,
which can be dangerous. So a lot of it, just people should know, is forget about the weight piece. Just concentrate on getting your blood sugars in control as much as possible. And like Rachel said, stop moralizing it. If your blood sugars still remain high just from changing your diet, do not feel like a failure. If you need medication in order to do it, it's not necessarily your fault. It's just your body reacting to pregnancy. So please don't moralize it. If you have to go on any medications, either oral or insulin, it's not because you failed. Some people, no matter what, they will still need that.
Yeah. I say that too as well. And not just gestational diabetes, but people who have diabetes in general, type 2, because it's so genetic. Like, you do the best you can with lifestyle interventions. But like, I always remember this, like, I say this story because like in my old job when I was working in clinical, the administrator there, like, he had diabetes and I was the dietitian there. And like, he would always like kind of call me aside and like tell me about his diabetes stuff that's going on. And like, he would tell me how he's eating. And he was actually really eating really well and in alignment with like how you should be eating for diabetes. And yet his blood sugar was going up. And I'm like, yeah, because you're 65. And like, as much as you don't want to go on metformin, like, there's, unless you're going to cut out carbs completely, which I don't recommend, because then you're going to start just like craving them and binging them. Like, that's not your fault. But just to come back to that what you said with like the dates versus gummy bears, like, I love that, because like, you explained it so well. And like, I'm not depriving myself, like, I genuinely want that feels more nourishing to me, and it wasn't coming from a place of restriction. But in the same token, if someone's like, I'm craving gummy bears, like, I really want gummy bears, it probably would make more sense to like just take a few gummy bears, mindfully, intentionally savor them, enjoy them, get that craving fixed, versus I'm not going to have the gummy bears, and I'm not going to have the cake, and I'm not going to have the cookies, and I'm not. And then like, one day you just find yourself like 3 days later, you're like knee deep in your pantry, inhaling a box of cookies, and you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen to my blood sugar? You know, like, we want to get to this place of balance where you're able to choose alternative options because you want to care for your body, while at the same time, it's really, I think it all comes back to building self-trust and becoming the expert of your body and knowing like what works for you. And that comes with like learning and understanding and getting that information from a place of empowerment. And again, it's so much more of like a nicer intention to be focused on like, my blood sugar values are pretty much my baby's blood sugar values. Obviously, like, not exact, but you know what I'm saying, in terms of like the insulin that they're producing, and saying like, oh, okay, I really am eating for my baby as well. Not to have that stress you out, but just to help you say, okay, this is not about the weight. This is really about nourishing myself and my child and feeling my best. And usually when you're feeling your best, you're probably eating in a way that best serves you, because your body wants to feel good and be taken care of. And it's going to tell you very clearly when you are. And so, yeah, just pair that with your intuition. Take those recommendations, the nutritional recommendations. They definitely help. And remember that your body is a partner in that journey. There's the external recommendations for managing diabetes, and remembering that your body kind of works in alignment with that and has a say. So don't forget about it.
That's huge. And that's such a great closing message. And it's just the mindset shift. And it can do wonders. You may be doing the same thing, but the mindset shift. And yes, I just want to answer to that gummy bear / dates. I'm not eating the dates and pretending that they're gummy bears. Okay. It's like the cauliflower pizza. I'm not eating cauliflower pizza and pretending that it's real pizza. No, it's not. I'm eating the dates because they are dates and because I enjoy dates. And yes, if the dates are not fulfilling that craving and I still think about those gummy bears, I will have them. But it's finding those things that are more nourishing from a sense of self-love. Like, wow, the dates fulfill that need just as much as the gummy bears would. And I'm getting right. The extra.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the cauliflower pizza too. It's like, if you generally want the cauliflower pizza because it's nourishing, it kind of reminds me of like one time I was having like some cream cheese and lox, and I saw these like really yummy peppers, and like, I just wanted a boost in like vegetables. Like, it was coming genuinely from a craving, like a body craving of like that. So I had, instead of a cracker, I had the the peppers with the cream cheese and the lox. And in diet culture, that would be like, oh, low carb, this, that. But like, it wasn't about like, cause I can't have crackers. It was because I genuinely wanted a nutrient boost and I found it through the peppers, and I would equally allow myself crackers the next day if I wanted to. And I like that concept of like the why not method, I kind of call it, where it's like, if you need something sweet and dates are going to give you that sweet fix, then why not have it instead of gummy bears? But if you're specifically wanting gummy bears, that's different. But like, if you have an alternative that gives you more nutrients that you're like cool with and it'll satisfy your need, like, why not? Why not have something that's satisfying and giving you that nutrients? That doesn't mean that you're dieting. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, totally. I could not look at cauliflower, riced cauliflower for such a long time. And now I enjoy it. I eat it because I want it and I enjoy it. So anyway, we are closing up here. Rachel, can you please review all of the areas that people can reach you at? And I will put all of those in the episode show notes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, if you found like anything insightful in this episode or helpful or want to share anything, I always love to hear your feedback. So definitely feel free to DM me at dietitian.rachelgoodman on Instagram. That's basically where I hang out most of the time. You can also email me, rachel@rachelgoodnutrition.com. I do have, you know, just some different things that are available to help women heal their relationship with food. So, you know, working together one-on-one with coaching and getting very individualized. I have an online program, which you can check out on my website, rachelgoodnutrition.com, that is like self-paced and helps you work through these things. And, you know, if you're like inspired by this and about intuitive eating, about healing your relationship with food, body image, like things, these conversations you want to have more in your community or your event. As you can see, I love talking. So if you have an event that you'd like for me to come speak on, definitely feel free to reach out to me and email me on that. It's definitely something that I love connecting with you in real time and kind of having these conversations and helping like in a bigger, you know, bigger setting can be really helpful, especially in community. I also have the podcast, More Than What You Eat, where I deep dive into different areas of intuitive eating and body image. So right now, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, I definitely have to kind of address these struggles that I have with food, not just during pregnancy, but like also, you know, afterwards, it's like your whole life. There's a whole bunch of different topics that you can check out over there. More Than What You Eat podcast, that's also on my website. And, you know, we have the free guide if you want to kind of dip your toes in, if you're feeling out of control with food, the 3 steps to stop feeling out of control with food, which I shared with Connie to put in the show notes. And I also have a professionals program. So since you're a nurse, maybe you have some other professionals listening in supervising, like if you're like, I want to learn more about intuitive eating and counseling my clients, or maybe not even counseling, but understanding and being able to support them, I have a Food Freedom for Professional Supervision program that you can DM me on Instagram or in the link in my bio on Instagram. Or just reach out to me about it. Or maybe I'll share with you the link, Connie.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, share the link, because I definitely have all kinds of obstetric providers as well who would stand to benefit from this so much, because we need to shift that whole entire narrative around weight gain during pregnancy.
Yeah, I think that's the goal. That's the goal really in like this program that I created, in like, number one, just understanding why diet culture is not helpful, why the focus on weight is not helpful, and then really understanding what intuitive eating is and how to apply it to your clients. And then we have the supervision calls where like if someone's listening to this and they're like, but I have like, what about XYZ? Because of course we can't cover everything in a podcast. Then you have that direct access to have a conversation and supervision on like, okay, let's break this down, let's understand it and help you in your situation. So, you know, to really, for the bigger picture of like trying to get this out from like the professional space, because that's where we impact people the most. And I do find it like trickles down from that place.
Rachel, I'm sure you've helped so many people. Thanks again for taking the time to come on this podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into the Happy Birthway podcast. Head over to Yoledit Academy on Instagram to continue the conversation. You'll find the link in the episode show notes, as well as links to any additional resources, products, and services mentioned here. If you love listening to this show, you can help it grow by sharing it with your friends and rating and reviewing it. To stay in the loop when new episodes are released, make sure to subscribe. Remember that your health needs are unique and require individualized medical advice. The podcast is not a replacement, and some of the information may not be appropriate for your specific circumstances. My mission is to educate you so that you can confidently collaborate with your healthcare team. I believe that a healthy mom and healthy baby are simply not enough. We also need a happy mom with an empowering birth experience.